Real stories, reliable information, the latest technology and news. Welcome to the Plastic Surgery Hub podcast, connecting people with practitioners.
Hello, listeners. It's Trish Hammond here again from the Transforming Bodies podcast, about to be the Aesthetics Uncensored podcast with Nicole. So I'm really, really excited. But today I am talking with one of my favorite dermatologists of all time, which is Dr. Shobhan Manoharan. Now, he's a laser anesthetic dermatologist at and from Brisbane Skin, which is at Newstead, and there's also North Lakes and Manly. And he's also the founder of the new training portal for dermatology nurses and therapists, which is called dermed.com.au. So I'm excited to talk about that tonight as well. So welcome, Dr. Manoharan. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. Always great to talk to you, Trish.
I just love that, you know, it's the end of the day. You've probably been working hard all day and it's an ungodly hour of the night and we're here talking. How cool is that?
That's all right. It's always, look, you're probably busier than I am. So, yeah, always nice to chat, Trish.
Awesome. So tell us, so tonight, today on this episode, we're going to be talking about lower face rejuvenation. But we're going to be talking about from a different sort of angle. So we're going to be talking about the devices that are available and basically what you do, you know, to treat your patients that do want the lower facial rejuvenation. Because, like, I am one of those patients. Like, I would love to have a neck lift, facelift, jowls, all that, but it's not going to happen. Do you know what I mean? Realistically, it's not going to happen. But I'd be looking at other options. So rather than doing nothing, there are options out there. So tell us, What do you have in your little bag of goodies for people like myself?
We have a lot. We have a lot. And the nice thing is, in 2021, if you come in as a patient looking for non-surgical options, there's actually, you know, a good armamentarium of you know, devices and treatments that are available. The thing is, if you've got a significant amount of laxity, you know, a lot of loose skin, very heavy jowling, then you probably do need surgery. And bottom line is that it's not right for us to pretend to have that devices or injectables can treat a severe level of laxity or jowling. Or lower face, or would be that the neck. But there's certainly a good subset of patients, and, you know, someone like yourself who's beautiful and young and looking for, you know, a little more tightening and a little more lift, and certainly not looking for surgery at the moment. There's a lot that sort of developed over the last decade that we offer and certainly can talk about today.
Mm-hmm. And as we're talking about it as well, can you, like, because I never ever know when would be the right age for people to start, because I figured if I had done something like this when I was younger, you're kind of, you know, is it possible that one treatment builds on to the next one, and, you know, if you do something sooner rather than later, that you may not need something later on?
Absolutely. Look, I'm a firm believer, and when we talk to our team, you know, my nurses and therapists, and when we train our staff, and when we do our training with the outside organizations as well, what we talk about is skin health and early intervention with a healthy embodiment of what is skin. And what that does mean is very early skincare, early, you know, dietary modifications and things like that as well. So we look very much at a holistic approach. But when it comes to treatments, we also understand that if you get in early, if you get on to very non-aggressive, lower invasive treatments at an earlier age, and we're talking about sensible ages, you know, sort of you're looking into your 20s and 30s and that sort of thing, you can actually prevent a lot of changes. And there's a lot of evidence that you can promote some good collagen remodeling early. You can, you know, with the right skincare, you can modify and reduce the damage that your skin is exposed to. Some good lifestyle choices will mean that you don't you don't expose yourself to the aging changes quite as early. But then, you know, the other things that can help, you know, you can have skin tightening treatments at an earlier age, which then promotes some collagen tightening. You can get some very, very discreet low-level injectables at earlier ages, which will boost your skin, reduce some of the deeper lines and wrinklings from forming as well. So there are a lot of things that can be done if you're proactive at an earlier age. Once again, we're not being silly about this. I'm not condoning, large scale cosmetic treatments or large scale aesthetic treatments for teenagers and things like that. That's very much not what we're about. Our philosophy is about skin health and about doing the right things at the right ages, but early intervention with good long-term outcomes.
Yeah, that makes so much sense, because it's true. It's not something that has to start early, but it is about being aware of, you know, almost everything you put in your mouth is going to eventually show on your skin. And long term, like say for example, someone that drinks Coca-Cola, say over many, many years, that, you know, it is going to have an effect on your, you know, the outside does reflect what you put
in. Yeah, I mean, as dermatologists, we were very and I did a podcast just a couple of weeks ago about diet and how that influences skin. And for decades, dermatologists were very arrogant. And we said that, look, diet probably doesn't make a massive influence on skin, but we've got to, you know, if you go to put creams and you've got to do treatments. But what we're, you know, as more humble physicians in 2021, we're actually starting to understand that a nice holistic approach and some very good early intervention naturally makes a big difference as well.
Mm-hmm. And what other modalities do you use? Like you wouldn't, would it be the sort of thing that you could come in one day and get everything? You say, right, okay, I want a lower face rejuvenation. How long does it take? Do I have to be there all day? Is it a one-off thing, or is it something that builds on top? Is it like going on a program or?
It really depends. So, you know, this is nice that we're having this the opportunity to chat today, because it depends on a number of factors. It obviously depends on age. It depends on your skin type. It depends on the damage that you have on your skin, and it also depends probably on any of the previous treatments that you've had. Now, if you're talking about someone who's younger, who's got less severe changes in terms of laxity or wrinkles or sunspots on the lower face, you're probably looking at lighter treatments that you do over a series of sessions or as maintenance treatments. So, you know, you've had guests who've talked about injectables for many of your other podcasts, so mm-hmm. I won't necessarily have to repeat this, but you know, small units of muscle relaxants and small volume fillers, this will improve things over time, and they all have their duration of action. So you keep topping them up as you're going. In terms of the lower face, the other thing for a younger person, for instance, we often like using non-invasive devices that can heat the lower levels of skin usually to try to tighten for longer periods of time. So, you know, the principle is a lot of these things, whether it be high frequency focused ultrasound or radio frequency treatments, you know, there's a big spectrum. I like the Maj, for instance, and that's my preferred choice, but there are a big group of treatments that we can use. They all basically tighten the lower levels of skin, and they generate heat, and, you know, somewhere between 40, 45 degrees in the lower levels of skin will provide that collagen denaturing and tightening of skin. And this then progresses on. So some devices require you to perhaps do treatments monthly or three monthly long-term. Devices like the Maj might be something you do yearly long-term. But the nice thing about all of these treatments are there's not a lot of downtime. So you'll get lift and tightening. You'll get improvements of your in terms of keeping everything up for you, over a period of time, but they're also nice maintenance treatments without any downtime. You can have it done, you can wear your makeup, and you can go straight back to work.
While you're on the march, I want to say is that was actually the very, very first non-surgical treatment I had, and it actually blew my mind away as to how much it actually did. Because, like, when I first got it done, I thought, okay, well, what was that about? But these lines that I think was the nasio, the one from your nose to your lips, the nasio label lines.
Yeah.
That just plucked out those lines and it blew me away. That was the first time I ever saw that. I thought, oh my God, these machines work.
Yeah, it's very cool. And especially if you stick to reputable devices with a lot of the science and the research behind it and a lot of the papers behind it. You know, there's Thermage and there's a number of other devices, be it radio frequency or other modalities. But the nice thing is there's an ongoing improvement. You get that initial improvement, which is a little bit of sometimes a little bit phony because it's, you know, there's dehydration and you know, edema, swelling and that sort of thing. But what the cool thing is the improvement that you get over the next 6 to 12 months. The other thing is keep in mind with all of this is the technology's improved. So if you had the original Thermage, for instance, a number of years ago, the new Thermage is actually a quantum leap ahead of that. It's much more comfortable. For instance, there's there's less risk of any complications, significantly less risk of any complications, and can be a really, really nifty tool for a non-surgical lower face neck lift, and we use it off the face for people for ladies who have post pregnancy tummy. You know, we can use it on arms, we can use it on thighs, and you know, even upper eyelids, for instance. So, very versatile technology.
So, what does it do on the other parts of the body? Does it tighten skin.
So these are tightening devices. So they cause some collagen denaturing on the very lower level of skin, all the way down to muscle. It gets very deep. It gets much lower and much deeper than lasers do because they of the way that the heat is distributed into the areas underneath the skin. And as a result, you get this collagen denaturing, you get this tightening. I had one of my nurses last week, we had an event at our practice who described it as putting your jeans in the washing machine and then in the dryer and then putting it on again. So it's almost like shrink wrapping and tightening everything up as a result. And I thought that was a great description on how Thermage works, for instance.
A really good description. I like that. Okay, and say, so with the Thermage on it, so say we're going down the Thermage path, is that like... Well, actually, a lot of people said to me, oh, my God, that's going to be so painful. But I didn't feel like my pain level with that was like virtually zero. And I don't know if that was just me or whether the
same. That might be you. You are pretty tough, Trish. But there is some discomfort. But with the new generation, the Thermage FLX that we have, for instance, there's some vibration technology and a cryogen technology that's built into the system. There's cold, you know, basically a cooling tech that takes some of the discomfort out of it, a vibration technology that takes some of the discomfort from gait theory. And it's much less uncomfortable than the previous systems. Unfortunately, with Thermage and a lot of these devices, because it does depend to a certain degree on patient feedback, we can't put you out because we need to know if it's getting too hot, if it's getting, you know, if it's getting too uncomfortable, because that also guides us around intensity in certain areas and how we move the device around. So that's the thing with Thermage.
And you know what, and like I know the people that live in Queensland can come to you in Brisbane, but how can other people be sure, because I've seen people advertise Thermage that actually wasn't a Thermage machine. And in fact, that not just the Thermage, I mean, lots of machines, they say we could do this, but then you go there as a patient and it's not actually that machine at all. They're just kind of, it might be similar technology. So how can a patient be sure they're getting the real deal?
It's bait and switch, isn't it? So we hear it with some of the bigger tech, you know, Thermage is one where, and there's certainly other technology where, you know, there's a tried and proven or an established name in that space, and companies will often bait and switch and get you in for what's described as one technology, and then maybe treat you with something else that might, you know, they'll go, look, you know, this is a little bit cheaper, and you know, you might choose to do this, and. You know, I'm not saying all of it's wrong. You know, sometimes newer technology, you know, due to other commercial factors, may be more cost efficient. But you know, also keep in mind that, you know, if someone's representing that they're doing a certain treatment, that they're very clear about that. So if you're being represented, or you're being told that you're doing Thermage, or if you're doing Fraxel, then that's the treatment that they're giving you. It's not a you know, it's not a miniature version of that or a cut price version of that you're getting. But more than that, you know, part of that is the device, and part of that, and we've talked about this before, Trish, is understanding where you're getting these treatments from, right? Mm-hmm. It's your practitioner, it's your clinician. You want to make sure you're at an established practice, you know, that there's a reputation, that you've looked into that, that, you know, are there doctors in the clinic, or, you know, are there doctors running the clinic, their level of expertise, the expertise, and how much experience the laser operators have. The problem is the legislation and rules between states are very different, and there's very different regulations that are that govern who treats what in different states. So buyer beware. I think please do your research. I spent, you know, Trish, as you know, about 70% of my work is these days are treating scars. And unfortunately, some of this, a lot of this work is from people who have inadvertently been treated with the wrong practitioner, wrong tool, wrong device, the wrong settings. And sometimes haven't done their research in regards to it.
That's so true. And I know that it's really important that people do that before they step one foot in the door, because, and I've been guilty of this myself, you're there at the moment, you're caught up in the moment, you really want to have something done. So you're just like, oh, okay, just do it. And then I've spoken to women and men that just sort of say, well, I didn't feel comfortable, but I just sort of thought, you know, I just thought, oh, well, you know, I'm here now, and then I need to live to regret it. So you're right, the research has to happen before.
Yeah, yeah, and please don't buy the upsell. I mean, all businesses will obviously try to promote their business and try to let you know, other services that they have, but really be careful of the upsell. If someone, you know, there's so many times that I've had to fix up scars and burns from patients who've actually gone in for something very, very banal, nothing, you know, too exciting, a bit of hair removal or this, and they've been upsold some scar treatment or skin tightening, and they hadn't done their research in regards to that. And they've ended up with some serious complications because they haven't, and they don't know the experience of the clinician doing it. So please do your research. If we can take one thing out of this podcast, Trish, probably what I'd like to put out.
Yeah, no, that's very what's the word? It's very, very wise, wise words. And so, tell me, what other options are there? Like, because I know you mentioned injectables as well.
Yeah, but, so you have your injectables, and we've talked about injectables in the past, and certainly. You know, you can do things if you've got low face changes. You can, part of it's often volume depletion. So your various fillers are useful to address this, and you can sort of manage that. Based on your structure, your muscle relaxants, your neurotoxins can help as well, including sort of lip lines and that sort of thing. You can help with that. If you have little collections of fat that you're not very happy about, there's fat dissolving injections that have been around for a very long time and more available now than they were previously. That when done in experienced hands and distributed appropriately, can really shape and structure your skin without surgery. So that's sort of your injectable spectrum. And like a preface at the start of this, I wasn't sort of going to get into injectables too much because it's been covered well.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, as you know, Trish, my big passion is in the realm of lasers and particularly the ablative lasers do an amazing job for the lower face for the lower face with aging changes and lines and wrinkles. And for smokers' lines, for instance, when you've got deep smokers' lines, or if you've got marionettes that really are not you're not looking for a surgical option, but you're looking for tightening and effacing of the wrinkles. Laser resurfacing with either CO2 or erbium YAG laser in this country, we can get some really, really comprehensive and excellent results when you have the appropriate skin type and the appropriate changes. So that's my passion. That's where I spend a significant proportion of my time. Helping people aesthetically.
And it's really interesting that you said that, because it's true, because I have women saying to me all the time, oh, I really need to get, I don't like the lines around my mouth, I really need to get some Botox. And it's really hard to make people understand, no, what you actually, that's not going to fix the lines around, your lips or anything like that. So people just need to change their way of thinking and actually realise that it's actually... what I've seen, when I've seen amazing results with the lines around the mouth and the skin texture, it is with the laser and device treatments. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. With, I work very closely with my surgical colleagues. So, both groups understand the limitations of each other's procedures and technologies and expertise, which is why I love doing what I do in my spheres. I get to work hand in hand, and there's certain things, plenty of things that I can't do that my surgical colleagues can. Yeah. But lines around the mouth, for instance, it's you can't face. I always say this: you can't cut it out. You can't facelift it away, mm-hmm. and you can't fill it. If you overfill it, it just ends up looking silly. So you need to have some method of effacing those lines. And especially if you've got significant aging changes, or if you've got, older skin and elastosis, what we could describe as elastosis, so broken skin, broken collagen over time that is related to sun damage and aging, then really you need something that can very precisely burn away layers of skin underneath that old distorted skin and get to the bottom of it safely. And mm-hmm. then we do beyond that is we tunnel little grids. And I describe it all the time as aerating a lawn. We sort of build new skin coming through, like new roots and new growth coming through that fresh new bed. And it's amazing what you can do with that lower part of the face with an ablative laser like a CO2 or an erbium YAG.
And years ago, am I right in thinking that, years ago, the CO2 lasers, you had to be under a general anaesthetic? Is that right, or to have them done, or is that not?
Well, it's not completely correct. I mean, you do have the option of doing it. So, and once again, it's... based on how big an area we're treating, person's skin type, how intense we're treating it, and also, whether we're doing just one section, for instance. If we're just doing the lower face of the mouth, or we're just doing the eye area, you can treat that just with topical and local anesthetic. If you're treating a whole face, neck and chest, for instance, or even if you're just treating the whole face in quite heavy settings, then yes, you will need some level of sedation. That can vary depending on your skin type and the intensity of treatment. Some of my patients will have this done under some light sedation. So, you know, they might get morphine or pethidine administered in a controlled way in the practice in theater, or they can choose, and many of my patients have the opportunity to choose these days to have twilight sedation. So if they're having a full face, neck and chest, or if they have full face and a heavy setting, they can have the opportunity of coming under a twilight list with my one of my anaesthetist colleagues. And that makes it a very comfortable experience for them.
Yeah, I have to admit that that's because it is always fear of how much pain, or it's the pain in the aftercare, and that would definitely be the option that I would choose. And a lot of people, yeah, they don't want to put up the pain if they know that.
Yeah, and to be frank, I mean, it's there's not too many of us offering twilight sedation for facial resurfacing in Australia at the moment, and it is something that we took on board, you know, relatively recently, based on the feedback on a lot of patients who were looking at a more sort of luxury experience for the whole treatment. So, you know, it's happy to be able to offer that in a safe and specialist environment.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we've got ablative lasers, we've got the thermage with, you know, the skin tightening kind of thermage, and even like fat reducing kind of.
Yeah, you got fat reducing, you've got your injectables, thermage, and then you've got your other technologies, like I mentioned. You can either have so we're looking at layers, yeah, Trish. So like your CO2 is your surface layer, all your surface wrinkles, and then you're going deeper, you want some volume replacement, you need your fillers. If there's fat sitting in places that you don't want it to, that's where the fat dissolving injections play a role. If you're down to muscle and you want some of the creases not forming, reforming, that's where your neurotoxins play a role. And then devices like the MAJ, which is radio frequency, or you have high frequency focused ultrasound devices, all of which heat up the skin much lower down and provide a lift from much lower down than any of the other devices do. So that sort of gives you a bit of an idea on where it all sits on a layer to layer level.
Of course. And you're not generally going to see results straight away, are you? Or are you?
It depends on what you're using, I guess. So with things like thermage, it is something that develops over 6 to 12 months. So yes, it's a slower improvement, but like you said yourself, it is something that you will definitely, you know, notice where over a period of time. Injectables, you'll often see a difference, you know, filler for volume, for instance, you'll often see a difference quite quickly, you know, almost immediately, and then, you know, it then stabilizes over a number of weeks. Neurotoxins can take a couple of weeks to settle in, so your wrinkles will, you know, relax over 2 weeks. And then something like laser resurfacing with your CO2 or erbium laser, you go through the initial healing phase, which may be up to, you know, 2 weeks. Then there's some relative aftercare after that. But it's amazing what you see at 2 weeks. You know, people see me at 2 weeks and go, oh my God, all my wrinkles gone. Mm-hmm. And then I have to sort of just talk them down a little bit and go, look, you know, some of this is swelling, and, you know, hopefully a significant proportion of your wrinkles are gone. But as the swelling settles, the collagen's remodeling, we're going to meet somewhere halfway. So it's about sort of managing expectations in that. So,
yeah.
You know, different treatments will take different periods of time. But, you know, over it's, you know, the nice thing is, if you have an experienced practitioner, they will tell you that or give you guidance with that. And really manage your expectations, your understanding about the treatment. And that's the thing. Don't go into a place and they sign you up for something and don't really give you an understanding of what the process after the treatment is, or how soon you'll see results. So make sure you get a good grip on who's treating you there.
Yeah, so true. And I agree with you 1,000,000%, because I've done both. I've been to that, you know, you go, you know, little place down the road, they've got a sign up and said, you know, you know, non-surgical facelift and come and have it done. And then, you know, it's, you know, like you really need to do your research without saying that you really need to do your research properly because, you know, what is it? It's like comparing apples with bananas. Do you know, it's two completely different. They're both fruit, but they're two completely different. Or should I say apples compared to maybe really expensive raspberries or something?
And it's not always expense either. That's the thing. So,
well, that's true.
You know, sometimes if you add the cost of small treatments unsuccessfully done over a period of time versus you know, something done by a specialist, and you have an understanding of costs and, you know, a real good understanding of the treatment outcomes and a good supportive environment through the whole treatment. You sit back, and the number of patients that sit back and tell me, look, you know, considering everything that I've spent over the last 10 years and have had, you know, minimal outcomes or X outcome, this has been great because we've done this. It's a bigger treatment. We've talked about it. We've managed my expectations. You've talked me through all of this, and it's given me a really significant outcome at the end of it.
Yeah, I know what to expect. I know what's going to happen, and I just got to, you know, bide my time. Or,
you know, that's my philosophy. That's the philosophy of my practice, and that's my philosophy of how we educate people on DERMED as well. Is that predictability? I don't like unpredictability. We like predictable outcomes, predictable treatments, and with all of this being able to be predictable with our patients.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about DERMED. So, because obviously, you know, like teaching is learning, learning is teaching, you know, like it's all one of the same. How did this come about? Because
it's... So DERMED's interesting. So DERMED's interesting because for many years, as you know, Brisbane Skin was formulated and started by both myself and my wife, who's another Trish, Trish Menaharan, as you know, and we've built the practice and built a lot of training modules building our practices over the last 10 years. So as a result of building these practices and my interest in dermatology training for the last 15 years, and, you know, I, all the way from being a junior doctor to a private practice dermatologist, I've always trained dermatology trainees, general practitioners, nurses, therapists, and then I had a stint as the director of training for dermatology in Queensland. We always developed training platforms and modules that we thought might be useful for people that we were training personally. And then over the last couple of years, we were approached by people in nursing, particularly dermatology nursing and dermal therapists, who were asking whether there's an opportunity for them to be trained with the modules that we created. So we thought, hey, let's put this together in a more formal way, create some platforms, create a registered training organization, and that's what we're in the process at the moment. So dermatology education is a training organization for dermatology training, particularly for derm nurses and dermal therapists, created by myself and other dermatologists, but, you know, the principal dermatologist is myself. But it's about treating patients based on clinical subsets, disease states, but also putting this very much in a private practice setting. So, you know, if you opened up a practice and you're a therapist or a nurse and you have a practice of just one or two clinicians, this will hopefully give you the tools in terms of knowledge, education, skill set, and patient handling, and even the administrative in the back end side of it, that will be useful for you to grow your practice, your clinical acumen, and your business.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. And look, before we finish up, I want to ask you, because, like, you know, I'm an avid fan of your clinic and I love it. I've been there. And How do you, because I know that you've, like, you take a real holistic approach, you know, to the health of the skin, and you've definitely built, you know, a team of clinicians around you. So how do you pick them? How do you know who's right? Or is it just the way you train them? Or I guess this is all kind of tied in as to probably why even Dermot even happened.
Well, exactly right. Exactly right. So the, you know, we can pick, I've been hiring people for 15 years. So myself and Trish, you know, I always say my Trish, because obviously you're Trish as well.
Yes.
my Trish and I have been hiring clinicians for 10 to 15 years now. So we obviously are very selective about who we pick and choose, who join our team. You know, there's a skill set and a cultural fit that needs to come into the practice. So that's one part of it. But the other big part of it is the training that's put in from day one. So there's training at the practice, both online, in person, and by bedside, basically from day one, clinical and administrative staff, FYI, but the whole team get from day one at the practice. So this is all, you know, part of the evolution of dermatology education. It's why we decided that it might be something that other practices, other clinicians may value. It's been such a passion for me and for Trish for the last decade that we'd really like to be able to share this at this point of time. It's a nice point for us to do it, because, you know, Brisbane Skin's up and you know, sort of to a certain degree runs itself. We've got a good management team and a good team of clinicians that will run itself. So, you know, why not share some of our experiences at this point?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, excellent. I think it's a great idea, because you've got, you know, you do have, you know, there's lots of training around, but there's nothing specifically that I can see, which is just this, you know, just having a look at the, you know, the different modules that you're going to have, you know, the courses that are coming up, and it's like, yeah, like if I was a practitioner and I wanted to, you know, it's a good way of actually getting in-depth knowledge.
I think
about each of these things. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think you're getting it from a specialist who's been doing it for a number of years as well.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you're getting it from someone on the coal face. So, you know, Trish and I have been doing this both clinically and practically from a dermatology perspective for a decade. So this is what we're building on. And, mm-hmm. You know, hopefully others will find this useful.
Yeah. Oh, no, fantastic. I've got to say, look, I love your clinic. Like, I've been to so many clinics, but it's definitely...
We love having you there, too.
Yeah, it's so good. And for listeners, if you're listening out there, honestly, it's an experience going into Brisbane Skin. So I love it. I love the products that you sell. I love the way that the people treat... Like, everyone's a VIP from the time... Or that's what I felt like, a VIP from the time, you know, you walk in the door, you know, until the time you leave. And one thing I love to talk, even when you leave, you're equipped with what you need to, you know, to maintain. You know, like the aftercare is always looked up, you know, phone call after, the day afterwards. And, you know, that doesn't happen everywhere. It's really nice to... You know, it's like being spoiled.
We talk about that. You know, that's a big part of what we do. It's not. I think I've spoken to you about this, and I always talk about this. We're not a one night stand practice. We're not a hit and run. We want you to be part. You know, we want to be part of your skin health long term. So if I have a clinician that treats you, they will then follow you up, and they will follow you up long term. Because that, you know, it's like anything else. It's skin health. It's like if you had diabetes, you want your endocrinologist and your endocrine nurse practitioner looking after you long term. If you had heart disease, you want a cardiologist for life. We're dermatology. We want to be with you in terms of your skin long term, and that's a real philosophy for us.
Mm. Oh, no, fantastic! Look, I love it, and I think more people should consider seeing dermatologist, because normally we just go straight to our doctor and you know, we don't ask, you know, we kind of get what, you know, we're sort of like, oh, I've got a bit of acne and okay, take this. But I think it's important to think, okay, I need to go that next step, because like I've got a family member at the moment who had been, you know, to the GP for their acne. I'm like, just go and get a referral to a dermatologist and get it fixed once and for all. You know, so
Send them over.
Yes, absolutely. Well, look, I'm going to say thank you so much for joining us tonight. Is there anything that I should have actually talked about that I didn't actually?
No, I think we covered most things. I think I really like the opportunity of talking about the non-surgical options for lower face rejuvenation. Like I said, to start off with, if you need surgery, you probably need surgery, but there's a significant proportion of people who either don't want surgery or not quite there. They don't need surgery yet.
Want to exhaust everything else possible.
Absolutely,
first.
Yeah. or you're younger, or the changes aren't quite as intensive. So there are, it's nice that we live in an era where there are good non-surgical options for patients who can benefit with non-surgical treatments.
It's so true. There's so many options out there. Just got to really research them and find them, and then more importantly, go to someone reputable who can actually do what you want to have done well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I know what I'm going to end this, and I'm going to think, oh, I should have asked about that, but that's okay.
That's right. We'll do that on our next
podcast. Awesome. Lovely. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
That's right, Trish. Thank you for having me.
Lovely. And listeners, if you do want to find out more about Dr. Shobhan Manoharan, you can find him on our website, but also brisbaneskin.com.au. Just check it out. Like, honestly, it's amazing. I love the place. So, yeah. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Don't sign up to dermed.com.au. If you're a clinician, you're looking for dermatology training, dermed.com.au, guys.
I'm sitting here with the button. I was going to just register my instrument just for fun, even though I have no qualifications whatsoever.
Lovely. Thanks for having
me. Thanks a lot. Have a good night. Bye.
Bye.
The Plastic Surgery Hub podcast, connecting people with practitioners. For more information, visit plasticsurgeryhub.com.au or email info@plasticsurgeryhub.com.au. The material provided in this podcast is general information and does not constitute medical advice, nor is it a substitute for consultation and advice from your own practitioner. It should not be used to diagnose or treat any medical illness. Any medical or surgical decision should be made in consultation with your own doctor or practitioner and not based on the materials provided in this podcast.